Would you open the precious Word of God tonight to the book of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark in the New Testament? And I want to start a series tonight and finish up next week, Lord willing, on Wednesday. It'll be the last home improvement. So if you'll open the Word of God to Mark chapter 3, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 3, and we'll look at just a few verses here, beginning with verse 22. I want to deal with the subject of understanding and resolving conflict. Now, I've chose that word on purpose, and we're probably going to have to wait to get towards the end of this message to understand, to really open up and develop this thought. And I'm going to be honest, I very rarely do this. I've just been sitting down writing some things. I don't ever do messages like this. But I've wrote down a lot of things that I've been thinking about, and I want to finish this up next week. Let's read Mark chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. The Bible says, "And the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand." Verse 25 is a powerful principle. The Lord gets down to the very nitty-gritty here, and He says, now look, first of all, we understand a kingdom cannot be divided and stand, but now He gets it even to a smaller unit. You know, we can get lost in a nation, we can get lost in a country, we can get lost in a kingdom, but it's hard to get lost in a house. It's hard to hide in a crowd in a home. Normally there's two to one, and by the way, a home could consist of one person, but it could consist of, I don't know a whole lot of homes. Now I know there's some television shows, and we actually had a precious couple do our marriage retreat 1 year, and I think they had, 19 children? God bless them. But most homes are, less than 10, especially this day. Now, some of you were born and you had 10 brothers, 10 sisters, there was 10 of you. But again, it's a smaller unit, and so I think this is something that can help all of us. And I want to just make some introductory thoughts about this, and we're going to look at several scripture tonight, but I want to deal with understanding and resolving conflict. I'm going to make a couple statements that I think all of us will understand this, and I think we need to understand this. Disagreements and offenses are inevitable in a relationship, any relationship. Now, I think it's important that we all understand this because some people are going to get married tomorrow, they're going to get married in the next year, and they honestly think in their mind that the person they're marrying is never going to offend them. They truly believe that because dreams don't have reality in it. And in this day, even I've learned in churches and in homes and in families that we think that it's a bad thing to have disagreements and offenses. But the problem is this, we're all sinners. So the fact every relationship is going to encounter indifferences, disagreements, and offenses. I don't know one person in this room tonight, and you're certainly not looking at one, that has never hurt somebody else. We've never failed someone else. I have failed other people in my life. And you say, Pastor, is it because you strive to do that? No, you don't have to strive to do that. You're a human. So we're human, we're sinners, and our heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. So we have to understand, and this seems elementary, but I think it's important that we understand this. Offenses and disagreements will come. How many of y'all believe that? They will come. So we're already in fantasy land and we're not living in reality if we think that there's going to be no disagreements and there's going to be no offenses done in any relationship. So let's just clear that up tonight, and let me just say to every one of you young people, you've already encountered that, but I can promise you if you was to ask every adult in this room tonight, they're going to tell you that there has been disagreements and there have been offenses. So that is a fact. How many of y'all would agree that that's a fact, that no relationship is not going to encounter disagreements and offenses? It's a fact. So we need to get out of fantasy land, and we need to try to quit thinking, well, I'll tell you what, because they're going to come. So what's the crucial issue about dealing with misunderstandings, disagreements, offenses? What's the critical issue here? Y'all ready? This is deep now. How we handle them. How we handle them. Because you can't make them go away. They're going to happen. So there's no point in saying, well, if this didn't happen. No, 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 no. It's going to happen. There's going to be people fail us. There's going to be disagreements in any relationship. I mean any. So how do we handle these offenses or failures once it happens? That's the key. Because they will come, and we have to understand to resolve the disagreements. And here it is. Working together in a constructive manner. Now, I want to give two things here that as I've been studying this about resolving problems and difficulties and disagreements and these type of things. I want to give two helpful things as I was looking and reading and just doing some different things. And I'll be honest with you, some of it has just been because of experience. But first of all, I want to just say this. Would you write this down, that we can work through disagreements in a constructive way? Number one, not every disagreement, and disagreements do not have to be ugly. Write it down. Disagreements do not have to become ugly. What does that mean? Two or more people gather today. I don't know of a church. I don't know of a family. I don't know of a marriage. I don't know of a friendship where disagreements and conflict doesn't happen. No doubt there's going to be disagreement. There's going to be conflict. It's a common occurrence between a husband and a wife. It's a common occurrence between a church family. It's a common occurrence with extended family. It's a common occurrence in even in business and in working and employment. So problems and disagreements are not going to be absent in these relationships. But the key again is how we handle them. Now, as a Christian, are you a Christian? Am I a Christian? If I'm a Christian, then our resolving these disagreements, and this is what saddens me today, because there's a lot of us that say we're Christians and we're not resolving disagreements the way God wants us to resolve differences and disagreements. But we have the resources to resolve. And they should be characterized by a little very powerful passage of Scripture that we would be calling in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26. They should be characterized by the fruits of the Spirit. See, here's what's amazing about this. If we know the Lord and we're going to have to deal with disagreements, or we're going to have to deal with offenses, and we're going to have to resolve problems in every relationship, then do we have any resources and anything that should characterize and give us help to be able to resolve these problems? Yes, I'm thankful. If you're saved tonight, you have the Spirit of God. How many of you know you have the Holy Spirit? So the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is you ignore people. You give them the cold shoulder. You give them the cold shoulder. Hey, you pout. Is that how we're supposed to resolve indifferences? Oh, we just won't speak for 3 months, 3 years. Is that how we're going to resolve it? Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to stalk to them. They didn't. Whoa, wait a minute. When I read Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that's not how God's commanded us to resolve differences with a Christian and having the Spirit of God. Let me give you the words. It should be characterized by love. You mean I'm supposed to love someone when they disagree with me? It's the best time to love them. It's easy to love them when everything's going well. I thank God, God loved me when I wasn't lovable. But I want to ask every Christian, how do we do it? Do we do it that way? If someone offends you, do you show them more love then than ever? I don't see much of that today. Yet that's how God tells us to have resources to be able to deal with disagreements and offenses. If someone hurts me and rips my heart out of my chest, you mean you're telling me I'm supposed to deal with that in love? Yes, if we got the Spirit of God. It is a fruit of the Spirit, right? But that's so contrary to what the world teaches us. They say you're weak if you love somebody that's trying to hurt you. Well, the Bible says that we're to love those that are our enemies. We're to pray for those that are enemies. So we understand the Spirit is completely different than what the world tells us. We ought to resolve our responding and how we resolve differences and arguments and conflict should be love. Here's another one, joy. I don't see pouting in the fruits of the Spirit. I don't see alienating someone and looking down our nose at someone thinking we're better than the others. I don't see that in the fruit of the Spirit. So we're to handle it with, look here, these are powerful words. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Y'all ready to get the noose out? How many of y'all ready to get the noose out? We want to yank them, don't we? Let me just say this. You better thank God He's not ready to get the noose out. Because He'd have done hung every one of us up. You say, Pastor, then how are we supposed to deal with someone that constantly doesn't get me and trying to hurt me and offend me? How about long-suffering? Can I say long-suffering? Gentleness. You mean, Pastor, you mean you're telling me when someone's being ugly to me and being mean to me and hurting my feelings that I'm supposed to be gentle? I'm not telling you that. The Holy Spirit will tell you that. The Holy Spirit will lead you to be gentle. But I'm going to be honest with you, church. I don't see much of that going on today in the world. But the sad thing is I don't see a whole lot of that going on in the church. I hear a lot of eye for an eye. Well, I'll tell you what. See, so we have to understand here tonight, and young people, it'd be a whole lot worse things for y'all to do tonight than to pay attention. I can promise you that. Promise you. So love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, and temperance. Y'all know what temperance is. God help me to have more temperance. You know what that is? Self-control. So when we deal with resolving conflicts, does every disagreement have to be ugly? Because they're going to come. Everybody's different. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be offenses. We're human. You're married to a sinner. And by the way, they're married to a sinner. And we have a group of people here in the church family. We're all sinners. We have extended family that's all sinners. And I don't know of one family where there's not been disagreements. I don't know of any families that hadn't been offenses. I don't know of any families or people or even friends that have never had disagreements. So we can't get them out. They're going to happen. So the key there is how do we handle them? Every disagreement should not get ugly. You say, Pastor, how they get ugly? Well, I hate to tell you. Most of them do. And the reason being is because we're going to talk about that later, but we feel like we want to alienate somebody. We start getting hostile with somebody. We start wanting to trump somebody. We want to yell at somebody. We want to scream at somebody. And so, by the way, a lot of disagreements and things get ugly. But I'm saying to you tonight, as a Christian, they do not have to be ugly. Number two. But by the way, they get ugly when there's yelling and hateful remarks and name-calling. But there's no room for that as a Christian because it makes disagreements ugly. But we should respond in the way that Christ would ask us to respond. And that would be by displaying, characterizing the fruit of the Spirit. How about peace, joy, long-suffering? You get it. So they don't have to be ugly. But I'm sad to say most arguments, even in churches, even in families, even in Christian marriages, they get ugly. But I'm telling you tonight, they don't have to be. Number two, here's one as I got to thinking about it, and I thought about this, and I said, man, that is so true. Disagreements can be beneficial. I've looked back over my life, and some of the things that Laura and I have had disagreements about has been the best things we've ever done. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Because I'm going to tell you what disagreements do. They reveal something that needs to be worked on. A good manager knows that ignoring a problem can create and bring complications. And not only that, if you leave a problem unattended and ignored, most managers know that that becomes a runaway train wreck. So we understand that ignoring a problem or a disagreement or a complication, we cannot ignore it. But I've also noticed this, the same manager understands that problems and disagreements can bring growth as well as keep the company from costly mistakes. And those conflicts and disagreements often become the spark that ignites new ideas and forces necessary changes to become better. And can I say tonight, same is true in relationships, a marriage, a church relationship, a friendship, any type, any kind of relationship. Listen to me. A relationship is strengthened and fine-tuned as problems and conflicts are encountered, because here's what you understand. If there wasn't the something there that caused the disagreement, it would not be encountered, and therefore you wouldn't deal with it. But because it has been encountered, you realize it's a part of life. So now we can't ignore it. We can't blow up about it. We can't just come unglued over it. We've got to work together to overcome it together and be better because of it. I'm going to be honest with you. Most people don't deal with stuff like that. They just want to blow up. They want to come unglued. And they just leave that problem as a problem. And here's what I say to everybody here as a Christian. Don't let a problem, don't let it go to waste. Don't let a failure go to waste. Certainly don't let an argument go to waste. If you're going to argue with somebody, at least come to a conclusion to make it better. Some people just fight and argue for the sake of fighting and arguing. And they do that all their life. And if you're going to argue, if you're going to disagree, then let that be the spark that helps you realize, you know what? We got a problem here. We can't ignore it. We can't shove it under the rug. We've got to deal with it. And it amazes me when two people realize there's something there. It's amazing what happens when two people start working together to resolve it. Are y'all with me tonight? It amazes me. People get married to become enemies. People get married to become enemies. And to be divided on everything. Why can't our problems and our disagreements bring us closer? Growth. By the way, I've learned some things. Can I give you a point in case? I'll move on. There were things that my wife did not know I did until I married her. There were things I know she knew I wasn't perfect. But I don't really think she knew what she got when she married me. By the way, that's why when you court and you date someone, you ought to court and date them knowing you ought to, look here, you better lift up all the rocks and know what you're dealing with, and it shouldn't be a surprise on marriage night. So I'm going to be honest with you, my wife didn't know who I was because I kept a lot of things concealed from her. But I will say, there's been things through my life that has become disagreements and things in our life. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not saying it's fun. I don't enjoy it. But at the same time, when we've dealt with these things and she's come to me and said, honey, this is causing a problem. Okay, I might not have thought it was a problem. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. But once you get married, I've learned this, it becomes a big deal to your spouse. And so you have to care enough not to just say, well, I tell you what, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you like. All right, there's a problem here. So I have now a choice. I'm either going to listen to her and we're going to work together, or I'm just going to split the thing, come unglued, and absolutely be, listen to me, miserable the rest of our time. Or we're going to come divided. By the way, the Bible says here that no home divided are going to stand. I'm going to tell you why. And that's why today relationships are being divided, because they're not standing, because offenses will come, disagreements will come, problems will come, controversy will come, arguments will come, and it's how we handle them. So could we stop looking at all of the disagreements and the problems and the things going on as not beneficial? Could be very beneficial. It was beneficial for me, for my wife to come to me and say, honey, having a problem here. What is it, sweetie? Well, I'm glad she told me. Because what if she ignored it and she just got bitter about it? I'm going to tell you what would happen. Our house wouldn't stand. Same in the church. You know, we have this idea, well, I'll tell you what, so-and-so. Well, wait a minute. You ought to expect that, because we're all sinners. So the question is what can I, how can I benefit from that hurt? What can I learn from that? Are y'all with me tonight? I'm wondering if we still live in a place where we don't just draw a line and put up our dukes and start fighting, because that's what America has become. Our great founding fathers were able to debate, Brother Don, and that's why our country is so great, because we could debate. Two different disagreements brought us to a place of where we could compromise, and I believe our country has become better. But now there's a group of people, they don't want to debate, they want to fight. And that's creeped in our homes. Children are ready to fight. By the way, I guarantee if you ask all these teenagers today, how many fights y'all see during a day? It's sad. We're teaching a bunch of people to learn how to fight instead of learn how to work out problems. By the way, they're going to come. Disagreements, offenses are going to come. And so, look at me. This is so important. First of all, they don't have to be ugly, especially for the Christian. Number two, these same indifferences or problems can become beneficial. The problem is an opportunity for growth in ways that might never have ever occurred unless the problem arose or we encountered. It's beneficial. God help us to see things like that. As a Christian, we have resources in Christ that enables us to resolve conflicts and sin in ways that will lead to a joyful victory rather than destructive defeat. I would say to all of y'all here tonight, if you're not saved and you don't know the Lord and you don't have grace and you don't know what joy is and you don't know what salvation is and you don't know what the power of the Holy Spirit will do and you have no other option than just to be miserable and fight it out with people, then I'd say to you, have at it. But as a Christian, we have resources. And by the way, that's what this month has been. Resources for people. Things to learn, to hang on to hold on to. And when that problem comes, Jesus Christ gives you a resource there not to be in defeat. Most people I know, they're defeated. No, we have opportunity in Christ. We have resources in Christ that will lead to joyful victory rather than defeat. So when does disagreements and offenses become harmful? I'm going to give you a word. When they become contention. What's that mean, Pastor? The Bible clearly defines contention, and here's the word that it uses, strife. That's the Bible word. What is that? Here it is. Y'all ready? It's not when a disagreement is amiable or you're learning from it and it's not gotten ugly and you're looking at it as a benefit, because disagreements should be seen and dealt with as a Christian with the resources that Christ gives us to see that, not let it get ugly, and we see it's beneficial, so we're not going to get hostile about it. What does it mean to be hostile about it? Well, you start alienating people. You start ignoring people. You start getting hateful with people. You start name-calling people. You start taking jabs at their character. That's becoming, you start gossiping about people. That's contention. That's strife. That's when it becomes harmful. And that's our choice. The Bible clearly defines contentions. It involves hostility. It involves division. And by the way, right here in this passage, if a house be divided, that's contention. That's strife. It's been divided. There's division there. By the way, no church should ever have a split. Church people and church family ought to know by God's word and by the Spirit of God in our life how to resolve conflict. It amazes me sometimes, and I'm not being ugly here, I'm just being honest. It amazes me sometimes. I'm 45, and it's amazing when a child has to tell me something that I should already know. And it amazes me sometimes I'm even dealing with some things, and I'm thinking, dear God, I shouldn't be dealing with this. The people I'm talking to ought to have enough spirit on them to know what to do. Somebody say amen. We all know by the Spirit of God how to resolve a conflict. We don't get mad about it. We love that person. We show fruit of the Spirit to that person. Hey, we don't want that contention to bring division. So what do you do? I'm going to tell you what it does. It drives me to go and say, I'm sorry. Will you please forgive me? If I've done anything that's hurt you, would you please forgive me? Would you? Is that hard? But boy, it seems like it's hard for the Christian to go up to someone that they've offended and just say, listen, I failed you. Would you forgive me, please? It's awful quiet in here. Is that conviction or are y'all just really listening? When's the last time you had somebody come up to you in church and they know and you know and people that are Christians and they know you've hurt them? And by the way, they don't do it always on purpose. Sometimes they do it just because they're human. I'd say most of the time they do it because they're human. And by the way, have you ever thought about this? People's lives are busy. People just don't forget people on purpose. Things happen in life and they've got 1,000 things going on. So that doesn't just necessarily mean we aren't cared about by other people. No, there's a lot of things going on in people's lives. So the first thing I don't do, Brother Don, is say, well, I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. No, I take it all into consideration and realize there's a lot going on. A lot. More than what little old Mark Brandon's dealing with here. Everybody's dealing with stuff. And so I take all that into consideration before I just start getting the contention and mad at people. That's helpful. That's helpful. And so every relationship, we have to understand what happens when these relationships divide. It's when contention gets in there. It gets hateful. We start alienating people. It's called strife. And by the way, would y'all quickly turn with me now, real quick now, turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Where does this problem come from? 13:10. Proverbs 13:10. This contention, this strife, this problem. It's no longer a beneficial disagreement. It's no longer something. It's gotten ugly. It's done become contention. So we're not using the fruits of the Spirit. We've let this thing divide. We've let this thing cause problems. And I want you to see where the source of it starts from. Only by pride, verse 10 of chapter 3. Only by pride cometh contention. There it is. Roots pride. Only by pride comes contention. So contention is a result when our pride and our self-will, rather than a godly spirit of love, governs us. By the way, I'm going to tell you what that does. That results in a whole line, a whole path, a whole roadway of just unresolved problems. Nobody ever fixes problems when they're always contentious. I've never seen two angry people fix anything. Somebody say amen. Never seen them. Never seen it. By the way, you'll never convince me that it will ever happen. Look here, two church members that are upset, done got to contention, they don't see the disagreement in the Spirit of Christ, they're not letting the fruit of the Spirit take their life, they're governing everything because they've been hurt. I've never seen two people like that ever resolve anything. Y'all with me? I've never seen a marriage where they've gotten so mad, Jalen, and they've gotten so contentious, they won't talk to each other, they've done let this thing get so big, they've done got contentious. I've never even seen them know that they'll even admit there's a problem. They just say this is the way it is. Contention, listen to me, never fixes nothing. That's why you have church splits, because somebody won't be man enough or woman enough or spiritual enough to come and sit down and talk and work the thing out. See it all the time. People get upset and mad. They don't ever come and talk to nobody. They just up and leave. They assume things. They just, boom, out the door. Out they go. They don't care. They assume that's what it meant. Well, wait a minute. You really don't know if that's what it was till you sit down and ask. By the way, we've heard a lot of people in our homes and our relationships and our family. We say things and someone just says, well, I tell you what, this is what he means. We really don't know what he means until we ask. So when we think about this, we've got to resolve problems because we can't make them go away. They're going to happen. I mean, I'm 45 and I've never, ever, ever desired to wake up in a day and have a knockout, dragout, or a disagreement. But you know what? They've happened. That's never been my goal when I got up that morning, but they happen, so we understand they're going to come, so it's important that we don't let them become contentious, because when they become contentious, that's when they become harmful. Contention results when our pride and our self-will rather than a godly spirit of love governs us. Nothing will be resolved. Pride and anger go together. Y'all write that down. Pride and anger go together. Pride and anger go together. Would you go to Proverbs chapter 21 real quick? Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 24. 21, 24, and I'm going to hurry. Look at verse 24. Proud and haughty. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. There it is. There's anger. Wrath means anger. So what makes me angry? Y'all know when I got the most angry in my life? When my old self, when my old pride's lifted up, and when I've gotten angry. How dare they? Do they not know who they're talking to? Come on now. Do they not know who they're talking to right there? Who do they have a right to say that to me? And the sad thing is, we act like that sometimes with our spouse. And by the way, my spouse does have a right to talk to me like that. Because guess what? She knows who she goes to bed with every night. She knows who she sees when she sees me. She knows my insecurities. She knows my weaknesses. She knows that I'm an old sinner saved by grace. But yet sometimes I even think about my wife. Does she not know who she's talking to right there? Y'all know what that is, Dalen? It's pride. And the Bible says that anger and pride, and you know what happens? I get angry because my pride. Pride and anger go hand in hand. So we better control our pride, and that will control our anger. But then I want to close with this tonight. What's the real source of conflict? What is the real source? As I was studying this, I found a passage of Scripture. Boy, help me more than anything. Would you go to the New Testament, the book of James? James chapter 4. Boy, as I was reading this passage of Scripture, boy, this helped me. And I pray as we close tonight, this will help you. But the real source of conflict, you know, this was powerful. Look at verse 1. The Bible says this. I mean, the question's asked. From whence come wars and fightings among you? That's pretty blunt, isn't it? That's what we're wanting to find out. I mean, where does these wars and fightings among you come? They not hence even of your lust that war in your members. Now, here's what amazed me in those last two words of that verse, or the last three, wore me out as I was studying this. Now, y'all stay with me. Where do we most likely think the source of all of our conflict comes from? From outside or from without? Here's what I mean by that. Would y'all like to have a dime, everyone, somebody's coming to you and say, well, if they just wouldn't have done so and so, would y'all raise your hand? How many of y'all heard that? How many of y'all ever said something like that? Well, I tell you right now, if I had this, it wouldn't be, how many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, I'll tell you right now, if they just would have done this, or they so-and-so wouldn't have done that. Y'all heard that? Here's the problem. That's not the source of the problem. Because you know what that does? That puts it out. That puts it in our environment. That puts it out on somebody. But that's not what 4:1 tells us. And this is what was convicting. Are y'all ready? Not that without that causes the contention and the fightings and the wars. And look at them last three words. It ain't got nothing to do with outside. It has everything to do with the in. They come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members. Here's what God helped me with right there. Not from outside. According to this verse, it's not in our environment. What takes place right here? My old lust, my old pride, my old envy. You say, Pastor, does that mean if someone does hurt me, does that mean that I have to have fighting as a war? No. Pastor, is that the way we usually do it? Yes. Is that why a lot of homes are more like a war zone instead of a peaceful? Yes. Is that why there are people in churches that won't speak to each other for 20 years? Yes. It's why. But it's not because someone did it to you. It's not because someone hurt me. It's not because if they would have done. No. It's not what that verse says. Here's the problem. What? Right here. I done told you starting out. If you think you're going to go through life, people not hurt you and offend you, you're crazy because it's going to happen. So the question is how are you going to respond to it? What takes care of it right here? See, you know why we get in our arguments and fights? Because of our own lusts and our own desires. It's not so and so. So the source of the problem is right here. So next Wednesday, we're going to look at some things that will help us to resolve, to help us to combat that in our lives. Because, church, y'all know what I'm talking about. Shouldn't there be a difference between a Christian and a lost person in the way they handle problems and fights and arguments? Should there be a difference, Jalen? You think there should be a difference between a Christian and someone that doesn't know the Lord and how we interact with one another? Do we think that Christian homes ought to be different than someone that don't know the Lord? Should be a difference, shouldn't there? But the question I have that is there? It's depending on how we respond to the disagreements and the offenses. And we need to quit putting it all on our environment, quit making excuses about everything out here. Because, you know, that's easy to do. It's, you know, it's this person's fault. It's over here. Y'all know what I'm talking about, Brother Daniel. You know what I'm talking about. You know, everything's out here. But we've learned that excuses only help us to fail. And we've got to take personal responsibility how we respond. Now, y'all pray for me that I respond properly. Because I probably won't get through 6 hours tomorrow. And there's something going to be said. Or there's something going to be done. I probably won't agree with. And if I watch the news in the morning, I can promise you it won't take 6 hours. So what am I going to do? I'm going to change everybody up in Washington. Can't do that. But I can sure work here. By the way, right here is all I'll give an account for. And right there in the midst of your bosom is the only thing you're going to give an account for too. So I say we better get started working about what's going on and warring in our members and quit trying to fix everybody else around us. And let's make sure that we're not getting contentious, and let's make sure we're responding to disagreements and offenses by empowered by the Holy Spirit of God, that we would deal with them by the fruits of the Spirit: love, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. What a blessing. Let's stand.